y'all. I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 258. Okay, the first one. Hey, ladies, I have at least two more stories. Sorry if my last story was a bit confusing. I have bad dyslexia. I would be very happy if you read any and let me know what you think. So the most recent was probably last month. My friend and I were spending time together, but she was spending the night. We were playing video games and watching YouTube out in my living room. It was very dark and we were getting tired. I was looking at the TV when I saw this big black figure sprint from my hall to the dining table. If that helps to paint a better picture, my TV is against the wall. Next to the TV is a giant arch that leads to the dining room, and down the hall is a relative's room. I brushed it off as I was just seeing things and my brain must have been messing with me. It was a bit late. My friend slowly turned to me and pointed to the hall, asking, "What was that?" I just shrugged and told her it was probably my black cat, Pootie. My friend shook her head and pointed to my cat, who was next to me, and I hadn't even realized. I started to panic. I got up, we looked all over, and it was pitch black. We grabbed a flashlight, and nothing was there. We were really spooked, as the figure was pretty big, the size of a child at most. My last story is when I lived at my old house. My great-grandmother got me this American Girl doll years ago. I didn't get rid of it as it was almost the last thing I have from her. It started to spook me though because I always felt like it was watching me. So I'd put it in my dresser that had two small doors in the middle of it. It was a little extra storage space that fit her perfectly. Nothing much happened for a while until one night I heard weird scratching. I didn't think much of it and fell asleep. The next day, nothing happened, but I heard the scratching again. I checked my dresser with my doll and she had moved. I started to freak out a little and put her back. For some reason, I asked her not to move or be possessed, like that would do anything. I had a bunk bed at the time, but instead of a ladder, I had stairs. That night, I heard someone walking up them as if they were creaking, and I heard the scratching again. I was terrified. I checked up on the doll, and she had fallen down. I was scared shitless at that point, so I saged the room and said nothing was welcome. I moved after that, and she hasn't done anything since. I hope you guys enjoyed my story so far, as nothing too much has happened. Hopefully I don't jinx it. I love you guys a lot and I hope you're having an amazing day. Fuck a doll.
Right?
The more we've done this podcast, the more dolls have kind of started creeping me out. I don't know. I'm just like, oh, that doll looks weird.
Yeah. It looks haunted.
Yeah. Like I don't want to fuck with dolls.
No. Mm-mm.
But also get keeping that doll because it's your connection to your grandma.
For sure.
And it seems like maybe it was more the house than the doll, but whew.
Also, I love an arch. Oh my gosh.
Do you want it to be like sharp corners or do you want the corners rounded?
Rounded. Also, since your cat's name is Pootie, my sister-in-law's nickname is Pootie. Yes.
I thought that when I read it.
We're country. But also, remember when George B. wrote in on a campfire tale and you read it and it was about like a puka?
Yeah, and I said it wrong the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. I just started reading this book. It's a whole series and everyone's going to be like, oh, you're finally on this bandwagon. But it's like a Court of Crown and Roses or some shit like that. I don't know. But there is this spirit thing. I don't know. That she sees at one point and they say it's a puka.
Yeah.
And it can like make you see things that you want it to whatever. And I'm like, is that where George got that idea? Because that sounds like now I understand too what his story was more about, like that they created this reality
yeah.
for that whole time. But I was like, I'm going to have to listen to that story again. I mean, also because it had some steamy scenes up in it, George B. But I was like, oh, that's how you say it.
Also, I understand where your brain made that connection, but so many people are like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything?
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. Also, I love that your bunk bed had stairs because ladders, not my friend. Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, love you bunches. Please keep me anonymous. I'll take whatever name you want to give me.
Dorothy.
Okay, Dorothy. In a small town of Texas, there was a family who lived down the street from my grandparents for about 50 years or so, who were jewelers. They were the Levi family, mom, dad, and two grown sons. Their store was the place in town you took your jewelry for repair and to purchase new jewelry. They were very well respected in the community. This would have been in the late 90s. Both sons, when they were in their teens, discovered and started using meth. As they got older, their addictions got worse and more financially demanding. It turned out that one of their top clients damaged a very expensive ring she owned while visiting New York. She took it to the jeweler locally there to have the ring repaired. The jeweler called her to come in and basically told her that the stone, which was a 3.5-carat diamond, was fake. Apparently, as the brothers got older and started working in the jewelry shop, they and their father began switching out real stones and pieces that would come in for repair with fake stones and selling the real ones to keep the business afloat due to the demands of the son's drug habit. They robbed the whole town, quite frankly, and all of their customers were just everyday people who trusted this local business. The next thing you know, the father is murdered during a home invasion, but ultimately it was his two sons who killed him to try to get insurance money.
Oh my God.
They went to prison for life. The whole family destroyed. The business closed, and the one remaining family member, their mother, lived alone till she died in the same house she raised her children in.
That is fucking heartbreaking. Did I ever tell you that happened to Colby's mom one time?
What?
Yeah, not the murder thing, but the ring thing. Yeah, she had taken her ring somewhere to like get it cleaned or something. And we used to have a bar here called Roper's. It was a terrible place. But like before it became what it was terrible for, they did a lot of like line dancing and stuff. So his parents would always go and line dance. And one time they were there line dancing, and this lady, like, she had her hand around my father-in-law's neck, you know, and this lady was like, somebody switched your ring out. I don't really know all the details, but I guess the lady like recognized her ring and was like, no, that's not, you need to take it back. And they went back and were like, this is not my diamond. And they were like gone for a little while. They're like, okay, come back. We'll check it out. And then like when they got it back, it was right.
Wow. That's so hard though. Like how you said, this whole town trusted them. And so mm-hmm. it was like, you just thought you knew that family. And then you have to think like that lady, a 3.5-carat diamond ring.
That's fucking huge.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine like her being like, no, it's not fake. Like, no, no, no. And just to be bamboozled like that from people you trust.
I don't know. Like, I'm crazy about my ring. Like, literally last night, I had a dream that my two bands, because I have my engagement ring and then I have two wedding bands, that my two wedding bands came off, but, like, my engagement ring didn't. And I was panicking. Well, it came off because it came off in my purse because I was trying to decide between these two English bulldog puppies that I was rescuing, but I couldn't decide on their names, but they kept jumping in the pool and drowning. And
oh, so my God.
But, like, they didn't die. Like, I had to keep jumping in and getting them. Before they would drown, and sometimes they would jump in at the same time and have to pull them both up. It was very dramatic. And then I couldn't think of their names. And then one of them, and I couldn't decide which one I wanted either. And then one of them, when he jumped in the pool, got his booty stuck in a like a beer can koozie, and it said a name on it. And I was like, that's what I'll call him. And then I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, that sounds very like anxiety driven.
So much. Ugh. So much. And it was like, I was back at my grad school and we had this huge ceremony and I like didn't have any makeup because I kept having to jump in the pool to get the dogs. And so I was like, oh my God. And then I forgot my like white coat. It was a whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Also, let's talk about how sad for the mom, though, that she lost her sons and her husband.
Oh my God. And then two, she lost her business. So did she even have any money to survive in her retirement? Like in her older age, they took everything from her, her kids.
Yeah.
And you know, people were so angry with her. Nobody probably wanted to help her.
Right.
Well, before we do any more of y'all's amazing stories, we got to talk about Paired. Because, well, Paired helps you share amazing stories with your partner.
And if you're like me, single as could be, you have a partner, AKA a friend. And that's Tiffany for me because, you know, Carrie has her whole hubby and all of that and they're doing it.
I would still do it with you.
Well, you can't do it with two people.
I could create a new account for you.
Okay, thank you.
I just switch back and forth.
We're having so much fun.
I'm telling you, I love the little quizzes where it's like you or me and you say, you know, whatever, most likely to blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's a series of questions and then you see who gets the most right. I'm like, love those.
Me too, because you know I'm competitive.
Same.
Me and Tiffany did one, and one, it was like the percentage that we got right together.
Yes.
And it was out of like 100%, we got 10% right. And I was like, wait, what? Like, no, I knew these answers, right? But I was thinking it was her or me.
Yeah.
But there was one that you could be neither or either or
yes.
something. I did not know that.
Yes.
And so when I saw her answers, I was like, wait, I would have done that. Like, we would have had a 100.
Right.
Like, we knew these.
I was just about to tell you, I like it too, because you could do you, me, and then sometimes it'll say, like, there's also, it depends or whatever.
Right. But also, I was telling Tiffany, this would be great for people who work together, or how you and Colby, like, I mean, y'all are married, so y'all live together. And so sometimes you can run out of things to talk about. But like, me and her were literally having a conversation about the quizzes that we had taken and, you know, like what we thought about it, because one time it was share a picture of something that they're good at. And do you know the picture I shared?
What?
Of her with silver.
I knew it. I almost guessed that.
The card game. And I was like, well, technically you are good at cards. That's just my favorite picture of her. And it's so candid. But when, you know, you can't see their answer until you do
your
own.
Yeah.
And she put a collage I had made for work, like a graphic mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And she said, you put that picture?
Okay, well, I just nudged Colby on that one because he hasn't answered it yet. So if they take more than, I forget how long, I think it's an hour, you can send them a little poke, like nudge them. So it was share a picture of Colby doing something that they shine at. That's the one. So I sent this picture of him and he is pretending like he's reading a book, and it's a Halloween decoration, like fake book with like a skeleton hand. And then I put like making me laugh.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And so if you don't know what we're talking about, this is an app called Paired, and it is something that you and your partner can download and have those conversations that we're talking about, because it gives you questions, quizzes, and games to stay connected and deepen your conversations.
One of my favorite things about it is that it's such a good combination of silly and serious, where you really can have good intimate conversations about your sex life, about kids, about raising your kids. There's religion stuff on there, but you also can have fun questions about who's most likely to check themselves out in the mirror, who's most likely to trip over air. You know, like there's silly stuff mm-hmm. as well as very serious things that really opens up a dialogue for you and your partner.
Right. We just did one, me and Tiffany, you know, my partner, about spending habits and savings. And it is like, that's such a good thing because money is a touchy topic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you and your partner can have this, you'll be like, oh, okay, so I see you value the vacation fund more than the emergency fund. Okay, so this is where we could work on that.
Or right.
This is where we both, you know, excel at this. Or no, that's what we want to do. We want to do vacations together. That's, you know, all of that. So it is really fun. Also, I love hearing the ones that Colby and Carrie have done, because I'm like, this is what I would have answered to you.
This is why we should have our own separate one.
They did have one question where it was like, would you rather have intimate relations in the morning, the afternoon, like at night, or you just like anytime? What do you think my answer was for me?
Morning.
No. What do you think Tiffany's was for her?
Morning.
Hers was morning, but mine was anytime.
Yeah, I forgot that was an option.
But I had put that for her and she was like, no, it's the morning. I was like, you know, you're right. Mm-hmm. Like she has said that. But again, it's just something like we're talking as friends and then we talk about it and
yeah.
we talk more about our experiences and what we want for our future relationships. And I'm like, no, like this is really helping us have this conversation.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get in on this to get more connected to your partner, no matter who your partner is, head on over to paired.com/creep to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription.
Just head to paired.com/creep. That is PAIRED.com/creep to sign up today.
Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here. You can download the app at www.paired.com/creep. Okay, the next one. A few spooky tales. Hey girls, my name is Lily, and if you don't remember, I wrote a story about working in a haunted restaurant and having severe sleep paralysis afterwards. I said in my last email that I would write more stories later on. I have a few stories I would like to share, so sorry, not sorry for the length. First one, haunted job. I'm a 19-year-old, 20 years old, on December 11th, college student, currently working on getting my CNA certification with the ultimate goal of being a certified caregiver for veterans, specifically those who have dementia and or Alzheimer's. The reason why I chose this path is because of my grandfather, who was a Vietnam veteran, and now lives in a facility dedicated to the care of advanced Alzheimer's and dementia. Shout out to my gramps. Sadly, I cannot start the CNA courses and training yet because of the current classes I'm taking at my local college to get my associate's degree I'm also working on. Getting this certification requires hands-on experience, so I'm currently working at a nursing home so I can get as much experience as I can before starting the courses. On my first day, I was having a conversation with my new coworkers when the topic of ghosts came up. One of my coworkers stated that he has had objects thrown at him, and another said she could hear talking in the hallways at night when everyone was in their rooms. After a few weeks of working there and being this slightly disturbed slash curious person I am, I downloaded a Spirit Box app on my phone. I plugged in my headphones and began walking around the facility. At first, I thought the app I had downloaded was just a scam thing, but then I heard a voice start speaking to me through it. I can remember the words vividly. Get away from my room. I was startled at first because I was standing next to an empty room, but I just blindly chalked it up to coincidence. But not even 5 seconds later, I heard another voice say, "Can she hear us?" I immediately turned off the app and deleted it from my phone. I haven't messed with that stuff since. Number two, vacation ghost tour. Okay, this next story is another paranormal one. Paranormal is a hard word to say. My family goes on vacation to Galveston around 3 times a year. I know Galveston water is nasty, but it's the closest beach to us, and it's a 6-hour drive to get there. In 2019, before COVID was a thing, I'd gone to Galveston with my mom, dad, sister, brother, my dad's friend, and his wife, and their 2 kids. For this particular trip, I convinced my dad to take everyone on a walking ghost tour around the main part of Galveston, where the tourists and the pier are. The tour was at night, and it lasted about 3 hours long. Here are some of the main things I remember. One, we were our tour guide's first group he had ever done, which made my dad and me laugh because he was a dorky dude. He had socks and sandals, big wireframe glasses, a fanny pack, and a huge walking stick. Even though he was a little dorky and this was his first day, he was very good at his job. The first place we were taken to was this abandoned white house surrounded by empty lots. It was a house that survived the Great Hurricane, so there was a historical marker on it, which also prevented them from tearing it down unless it was unfixable. We were told that there was a demonic possession that had taken place there, and a little boy was thrown from the 3rd-story window. The boy being thrown out the window happened. He survived, but I'm pretty sure we were told he was paralyzed. Currently, the house sits vacant. However, the cops around Galveston are always getting trespassing people from that house because apparently it's a meeting spot. Because of this, we were not allowed to go inside the house, but merely look at it from the empty lot next to it. As our tour guide is telling us all of this, I look up from the 2nd story of the house, and I see that there's a light on in one of the rooms. I quickly get the attention of my father, and he sees it too, thankfully. He then quickly cuts the tour guide off and points to the light that is still on upstairs. You could see the panic go across his face as he says that that house is completely condemned, meaning there's no running electricity. After being silently freaked out by ghost lights and our tour guide walking us to our next destination, we arrived at an old Victorian-style home that also survived the hurricane. We were told that there was a little boy who lived there named Toby, and his spirit wanders the house and the neighboring properties. It's said that he presents himself as a black cat, but then shapeshifts into a little boy. There have also been reports of Toby throwing rocks at people walking by the house. Again, as our tour guide is telling us this story, a black cat walks up to our group, goes in between my dad's legs, and runs off. Our tour guide saw the whole thing and he looked startled again, but just said, "Everyone say bye to Toby." The next one is Goatman's Bridge. One time around maybe late 2020, early 2021, I went to Goatman's Bridge with one of my friends. She had never been, but I used to go all the time. The bridge itself is such a weird section of Denton. If you're not paying attention, you'll miss it or you won't even know it's there. When we arrived, I wanted to give her the whole tour of it, and backstory and all. There was a spot to the left of the bridge, after you cross it, where you can crawl through a fence that leads to a short, steep path that goes underneath the bridge. Side note, that's where Jay from Ghost Adventures did a seance on one of their episodes. When I got to the end of the path, I looked up and saw three people wearing all black. They were standing around a weird smoldered pile of ash with what looks like salt surrounding it, and there were lit candles everywhere. I didn't care if they saw me or not, because if they did, they only saw my ass while I was running back up the path. I grabbed my friend's hand, who was waiting for me behind the fence still, and we booked it to our car. That was probably one of the scariest things to ever happen to me. I know now that people do that sort of thing. 9 out of 10 are just normal people who just believe something different. But something about these people freaked me out so bad that I didn't go to Goatman's Bridge for almost 2 years after that. Number 4, my first lockdown. I went to a school that had 20 to 30 kids per grade. The campus was so small that it only had 3 buildings right next to each other, elementary, middle school, and high school. Our high school only had 10 classrooms that lined one hallway, which eventually led to an oversized cafeteria that could fit our entire school's population. Anyway, when I was in 7th grade, my school went on lockdown for several hours when the entire school was gathered into the cafeteria for parents to come pick us up, or if you drive, you're free to leave. Apparently, some man from Dallas killed his wife and 2 kids, put them in his car, buckled them in as if they were alive, mom in the front seat, kids in the car seats, and drove to our small town about 2 hours north, pulled over, doused the car in gasoline, got back in the car, lit himself on fire, killing himself, making the car go up in flames. It happened only a few miles from the school, but it happened in a neighborhood where the majority of the kids that went to my school lived. The next day, one of my friends didn't show up for school because it happened right in front of her house. I'm not entirely sure a motive was ever determined. Story 5. My dad was around murderers. When my father was growing up, one of his classmates was murdered by 3 teenagers in a hometown wannabe gang. The only reason why I know this was because I was listening to another podcast where they covered the story of 16-year-old Heather Rich and how she was murdered in 1996, only 10 miles from where my dad lived at the time. I asked him about it, and he said that he was her friend and he knew the murderers personally. Another time, my dad told me a story about how he was working in a welding shop in his early 20s, and one of his coworkers busted through the building with 12 cops behind him. He murdered his mom that morning to get access to her life insurance and went on to work like normal. That's all for now. If I think of any more stories that are podcast worthy, I will send them in. Hope there weren't a lot of grammatical errors. Love you lots, Lily.
Holy crap.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay, my mind goes straight to Sound of Music, where it's like, let's start at the beginning. The beginning's like a very good place to start or whatever.
Yes.
I love how it's like, I mean, I get that it was a lockdown. And so, but it wasn't like there was like an active shooter or anything like that. But it's like, stay here until your parents can get here. But if you can drive, just go ahead.
Right.
Like, just go ahead.
Just get out of here. It's one less head we got to count. But it's yeah. Like, okay, well, maybe for lockdown, let's like keep people here safe. Because yeah. Like usually with lockdowns, they won't even let your parents come get you.
Right. But that is so freaking scary and so sad about his family and no motive.
Yeah. But and like, why drive to that place? Like, yeah. Why that place?
I don't know.
You remember on our ghost tour where Colby lied to us and said that there was a guy, a ghost out in the little field part. And then when he told us that it wasn't real, he told us that it was one of our friend's husbands peeing, and it still wasn't that.
He was just standing out in the field.
That motherfucker.
Oh my gosh.
Colby is such a...
like a kidder.
Yes.
Like a fibber.
Yes. And then I'm like, stop. He's yes. like, what? I'm not.
And he's so good at it because, like, he was taking a lot of pictures and it was creepy. Like, a lot of the pictures were creepy. And so then when that one happened, he was like, like, his eyes were all big. And I'm like, holy shit, motherfucker lied to us.
I know.
Oh, gosh. But oh, my gosh, about the Spirit Box app, I have been tempted to download one, but I was like, you know what? I don't want to do it at my house because, yeah, even if it's fake and like it just does it randomly, I'll never feel okay.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to do it at my house.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, DIY Ghost Hunters. Hello, lovely Southern Belles. I love the podcast. Even your guys' ad reads. Keep it up. I hear you're running low on stories, so I'm sending you in my ex-uncle's experience. I'm not related to him by blood, and he got divorced, so ex-uncle. Anyways, he works for the Geek Squad, which for people who don't live where there are Best Buy stores, Geek Squad are the people you bring your broken tech to, and they can help get viruses off or whatever. But they also make house calls for certain tech installations. Ex-uncle gets a customer call to come install surveillance cameras in this person's house. When he gets there, he asks to be taken to where the customer wants the cameras. The customer brings him upstairs to a room with a hospital bed in the middle of it. So my ex-uncle is already skeeved out. The hospital bed is empty, and it's clear that this guy lives alone. So what? Ex-uncle decides to just get the installation over with. It's not part of his job to pry after all. Luckily for us, though, the customer is a talker. He starts telling him all about the ghost he sees and he wants to watch on camera. There are three ghosts. An old man, we suspect the hospital bed was his, a little boy, and as the customer put it, a shapely female ghost. The customer seemed to light up when speaking about her. I kind of have to wonder if this guy had some sort of thing for ghosts and wanted to capture her on tape for his personal spank bank. I was too young to be thinking that at the time of hearing the story, but as I've gotten older, thinking back to the way the adults acted so scandalized by the guy finding a ghost shapely, I just wonder. Unfortunately, I don't remember much else. I was told a little bit about their personalities as described by the customer, but I can't remember. I do remember, however, the dream I had staying at my aunt and then uncle's house. Everyone who stayed there after my ex-uncle's spooky camera installation job had some kind of weird or scary dream. We think the little boy may have followed him home. I remember my dream was very dark, with only green light illuminating, and I was in a maze. And it felt like I was being chased by shadows. Everything was kind of distorted and looked like the graphics in Jimmy Neutron, which did not age well, lol. It was just strange to wake up feeling out of breath and anxious. I know that story isn't that cool after the initial shock of the empty hospital bed, so I'll see if I can wring out some more stories from my sensitive boss. His grandmother lived in a house that was built in the 1700s, and there were metal rings on the walls in the basement for colonists to put shackles on. So it had history and had seen some terrible stuff. He says that as a child sleeping over at his grandma's, he was watching TV on her couch when what he believes to be a demon came up from the basement and paralyzed him, leaving three scratch marks on him. He believes kids are more sensitive because they're so innocent. I think he also told me that once a spirit or demon interacts with you, the door is open and you are sensitive for the rest of your life. He has plenty of other stories he's collected over the years. Thanks for listening. I hope my stories were at least entertaining. AJ from Kentucky.
Yeah, those stories are scary as fuck.
Right? I'm like, entertaining? Sure. Scary? Yes.
Yeah, get all the stories from your boss.
Right. But also, what do you do like when you go into someone's house and it's like ultra creepy like that? Like, okay, dude, like, cool. I mean, I would be like, oh my God, have you got anything? What's going on? Can I come over and look at these cameras?
No,
with you?
Because I think it was a different vibe.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't like a, I don't know.
Yeah. But also, why did he have that hospital bed? Like, that's the main question.
Maybe someone used it before?
I don't know. Cause I mean, I know some people can buy them, but usually like, well, I say usually, but my sister rented hers from the hospital.
Yes.
So they came, you know, and took it back right after she passed.
But no, because my grandmother had one that she had gotten, they like purchased for my grandfather. And when he went to the nursing home, that's where she slept.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we ended up giving that to somebody else that needed it like after she passed. So not necessarily.
But I understand that. But like, why would he have one just there, like in a room, and then be like, I want cameras all over it? I don't know. That's very weird. But I thought it was going in a different direction and not paranormal, but like he was going to kidnap someone and put them in that bed, and then he wanted cameras on them that way.
Oh,
that's where my brain went the first time. Also, Geek Squad, solid people right there. Solid people.
It's because you know 75% of the ones in our town.
But I'm just going to say, they've helped me. Remember that time that we lived in Houston and you went on my computer and you got viruses on it, but you were too scared to tell me?
Yes.
This is how she's a Sour Patch Kid, though, because she was not going to tell me, but we were in there and then she's like, okay, I have something to tell you. Because I was like, why are these popping up? And I was like, okay, well, I can't not tell you now.
I was she's like, oh, just uninstall the program.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, it's no big deal. But bless Carrie's heart. I know she was probably having so much anxiety over it. And I was just like, oh, no, it's fine.
And then that computer became my computer.
It did. It probably looked better in your fucking house than it did mine, just like my clothes look better on you than they do me.
It's just because they're different. It's just different. It's not because they actually look better on me. It's just because it's not on you. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
they do look better on you.
They don't. Y'all tell her.
Well, honestly, because I just don't have the boobs, but I have a bigger stomach. But so like when you wear them, like they hug your boobs and like it just looks proportionate. And I'm like, God, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Okay, the next one. Hello, my beautiful friends. I just got my Spotify year roundup and y'all are my number one most listened to podcast. Your voices are like warm, spooky hugs and I just love y'all to pieces. This is my first of many stories. I'll try and get better about sending them in. Picture it, 1997. I am a wild 7-year-old running on a big old hippie farm in Oregon, and I'm starting my witchy journey. I've always hung out with people older than me, and on this day, I was kicking it with my friend, we'll call her Crystal, who was in her 30s and was very in tune with her mystical side. She taught me how to properly use tarot deck, helped me make my first wand, but on this day, she introduced me to the dun-dun-dun Ouija board. Y'all, I tried that 700 times. I lost my dun-dun-dun like Donna lost her Texas. I could not do it, y'all. We sat on her floor and used it together at first. I was intrigued as the planchette slid across the board without either of us actually moving it. It was fun, quote, I thought. Maybe I can get a hold of my papa that passed. Crystal went to get snacks, so I stayed with the board. Again, I thought, maybe I'll just try on my own. What could go wrong? I placed my tiny hand on the planchette and asked questions. I waited and nothing happened. Then I asked another question and had a little doubt that maybe my friend was tricking me and this thing didn't actually work. Without warning, the planchette started to move with my hand on it, but I was most definitely not moving it. And to top it off, I felt a cold chill creep up my arm, and when it got to my elbow, I ripped my hand off and gasped, stunned and scared. Crystal came back and I explained what happened. She closed out the board and urged me not to use it by myself again. Bitch, I ain't touching that thing ever again, alone or not. Not my exact words, but you get the point. Yeah, never again. Love, love, love you ladies. Keep up the amazing work.
See, you just describing that, I'm like, God, I want to know what that feels like.
Nope. Not even a little piece of me wants to know what that feels like. Ain't no fucking way. Ain't no fucking hell.
I do, but I'm gullible as fuck. So, like, Carrie could literally, well, not Carrie, because if she puts any pressure on any kind of joint in her finger, it's going to pop. So I know she cannot joke around. Wasn't me, because her joints are going to give her away. But like Colby, the fibber, he could push it and I'd be like,
and he would. Uh-huh. You can't do that with him because he would 1000% do that to you.
Yes. But I'm glad that everything was okay and you're steering clear. Also, I'm so glad that you put the dun, dun, dun in, because if y'all don't get the bloopers, y'all need to, because Carrie was trying her hardest.
I tried a lot, y'all.
Okay, last one. Hi, lovely ladies. I decided to apply to law schools all of a sudden, and while writing my personal statement, I accidentally stumbled upon some trauma. You know how it goes. Basically, I'm in the epilogue of a Lifetime movie. Picture it. Valentine's Day, 2019. I'm a 20-something year old. I could do the math, but I won't. And I got a text from my mom. It's a photo of a broken vase on a wooden floor, followed by, "I tried breaking up with Jamie, but he didn't take it well." Luckily, I was surrounded by my boyfriend and my roommates, my sister and a friend, aka all the people that I would immediately go to and ask if I should be freaking the fuck out. The quick summary of the backstory is, my mom reconnected with an old flame on Facebook. Fucking cliche as shit. That's what they said, not me. She legit ghosted the family for like 6 months. No goodbye note or anything. Funny story, my brother and I were carpooling to work one day and we saw her in a car randomly at a stoplight and we were like, what the fuck? Was that mom? She sped off in shame. Once my mom finally opened up and introduced us to this man, we hated him. I'm not someone who hates a lot of masculinity. I actually find it really attractive. But Jamie was the definition of toxic masculinity. I was scared of him, but also not, because I could tell he had some kind of complex. I don't know how to describe it. I guess I should have been scared. Back to the main story. I couldn't get a hold of my mom, so I called my brothers who were within driving distance of her new home. They texted me sometime later saying the whole fucking neighborhood was blocked off with cop cars and there were patrols on foot looking for someone. Turns out after my mom sent me that text, she was scared enough to run for a pair of scissors in the kitchen. It's been forever, but from what I remember from her statement, Jamie said something along the lines of, "Oh, you want to play? I have something more fun than that." And then he went to get his gun. She sprinted to her car, and as she was starting it, he shot through the windshield, emptying the clip and hitting her with 5 out of 6 bullets. Thank goodness for shock and adrenaline and his bad aim, because she was able to still reverse out of the driveway and get to the fire station for help. She laid her head flat on the horn, but no one came out until a passerby heard her horn blaring and raced into the building for help. Finally, she was airlifted to the hospital. Her boyfriend wasn't running around the neighborhood as the police thought. He died by suicide in their living room, specifically on her favorite chair that they had just bought. Yes, there is a little sting of hatred in that sentence. We, myself, my boyfriend, and my sister, left the house as soon as my brothers told us there were cops at the house. We made the 2-hour drive to the hospital where my mom was sent, and everything after that was a blur of me pretending to be a grown-up. Obviously, her and my dad didn't have the best relationship at the time, so as the oldest, I handled everything from brushing the blood out of her hair to figuring out where her car was towed so we could empty it of all the valuables. I even had to call the insurance company to start a claim. My sister and I scrubbed Jamie's brains off the floor because the biocleaning team wasn't going to be there before my mom got home and we didn't want her to see it. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to the fact that almost 5 years later, I don't know how I feel about my mom. She abandoned us to have this happy, new, better life, but it ended up literally being what most people would think of as the worst case scenario. Then we let her back into our lives so she can recover from her wounds, and she gets lots of sympathy, obviously, but none of us really got to yell at her. I'm still waiting to see the damage it caused my baby brother, who was like 10 at the time. Her and my dad are still married and live in the same home, but separate rooms. I don't like it, but it's not my marriage. As I said at the beginning, I recently stumbled upon this trauma. I've been avoiding it for so long because I've never felt it really affected anything in my life. Even in therapy, I used to rush through this story because I don't want to be the little whiny baby with a trauma story. However, I was informed recently by people in my life that this is something that defines me, whether I like it or not. I literally moved states on states away so I could separate myself from this stuff. I know I'm much happier now that I moved. I decided to write this story as part of my personal statement per my fiance's recommendation. Like I said, I don't want to be a little whiny baby with trauma. I didn't want to feel like I was using this story to get into school, but I did immediately start crying and it felt kind of good. And I realized that it does provide a lot of motivation for me, even if I didn't want to acknowledge it. I love your show, and I guess I'm on a roll now that I'm being honest with myself and wanting to share with probably my favorite podcast. Also, this might even be a little bit of why I'm obsessed with true crime. I loved CSI when I was a kid, though, so who's to say? Anyway, love you, ladies. Keep doing what you're doing. JJ from VA.
JJ from VA, your name is perfect. You know Donna loves JJ from VA.
I do.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. And that's what's so, I guess, intriguing about true crime, because people either love it because it terrifies them, or they love it because they've lived it. And I think it helps you process trauma.
Yeah. And even though I've never been in that kind of situation, I understand where you're coming from. Like, you feel like you can't yell at her because she literally could have died.
Right.
But that doesn't erase all of what you put us through by leaving us, abandoning us. And then we're the ones who you call, like, when it goes bad, and we're here to pick up the pieces because we love you. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you abandoned us. That's a lot. And I totally get what you mean about playing the grown up. Like, it was a blur and I was just playing the grown up for right then, because, yeah, I don't think anyone's ever ready for anything like that. But when you're having to do that for your parents,
it's hard.
It's so hard. And it's like, wait, what? Like, no, they should be doing this, you know? But yeah, like, you, someone has to be the one to step up. And like you said, you were the oldest. And so it's just like, all right. And I don't think you're being whiny with trauma, because everyone has trauma. Yours just has a different depth to it.
Right.
You know, and also you're not using that to get into school. No, like, you are leveraging your
story,
life experiences. Like, you've actually lived this, you know, and this is what, you know, has propelled you into that. And I think it gives you a different insight than other people have. So I think your fiance was 100% right on suggesting that.
Also, I feel like Adana getting called on this detail, but also because I am who I am, that you had to clean all of that stuff up because the cleaners couldn't get there in time. Like, how do you even clean that up? Like, I mean, I don't mean like the actual process, but I mean, like, I mean, these people have special licenses and stuff on what to use and where to put the materials and all that. So, like, how the fuck did you do that? Well, you are incredibly strong, and that is going to suit you well in law school. So when you're done, can you just, like, explain all the things we don't understand on the podcast to us? So when we're like, so I think in the law, you can be like, no, bitch.
Yeah, we're just going to say, and we're going to hand it over to JJ from VA.
Yes.
Coming in clear with the actual blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Tell us really what first degree murder is. Well, thank y'all so much for sending in all of these stories. Keep them coming. aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real and don't get scared.